really shifting in rural America. The small town of Wilder in Idaho is about to swear in the state's first all-Latino city council. And you're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Good morning. It's 8:41. Thanks for tuning into Morning Edition here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us. Headlines are coming up next from NPR and WPR. And then in 10 minutes on Marketplace Morning Report, why the NBA is putting out an ad against gun violence. That plus all the morning's business news here on WPR. There will be scattered flurries in northern Wisconsin this morning. There's a chance of light rain and light snow in the southwest this afternoon. Highs will be in the mid-20s in the northwest and north-central Wisconsin to the upper 30s and around 40 degrees in the southeast. Tonight, a chance of light snow in the evening in the south, then a chance of light snow after midnight. Expect scattered flurries in east-central Wisconsin. Lows in the mid to upper teens in the northwest and west-central to the upper 20s in southeast Wisconsin.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Damage assessments and cleanup are underway this morning in parts of Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Strong storms and tornadoes did a lot of damage to homes, power lines, and trees. At least seven people are dead and thousands are without electricity. Blake Farmer with member station WPLN is in Nashville.
This was a scary line of storms, but the damage is relatively isolated. Lots of people in Nashville spent an hour or more huddled in their basements, but the most populous areas were spared a direct hit by any tornadoes.
Heavy damage is reported in Clarksdale, Mississippi. That's where dozens of homes were hit and small planes flipped over at a local airport. Turkish investigators say they're still not sure what caused an explosion aboard a plane parked at an airport in Istanbul. NPR's Peter Kenyon says the blast killed an airport worker.
Turkey's transport minister says it's too soon to say what caused the 2 a.m. explosion aboard a Pegasus Airlines jet on the tarmac at Sabiha Gökçen Airport on Istanbul's Asian side. Five planes parked nearby were damaged by shrapnel, but so far officials are not calling it a bomb. Security at both of Istanbul's airports has been increased while the investigation continues.
New claims for jobless benefits in the U.S. are down. The Labor Department says they fell 5,000 last week. On Wall Street, the Dow was down 41 points. I'm Dave Mattingly, NPR News, in Washington.
This is Wisconsin Public Radio News at 8:43. I'm Maureen McCollum. Volunteer first responders in Sheboygan County have begun training to treat victims of mass shooting situations more quickly to improve chances of survival should a worst-case scenario happen locally. The new rescue task force being formed in Sheboygan County is in response to lessons learned by law enforcement during tragic mass shootings. Sheboygan Press reports the rescue task force aims to address the needs for volunteer first responders wearing bulletproof vests and ballistic helmets who will be specifically trained to enter a danger zone with a police escort to treat victims. Sheriff's Office Staff Sergeant Terry Cram says larger metro areas across the country have developed similar task forces using full-time EMS and firefighters, but he says it's rare to develop a task force in a more rural setting using volunteer first responders. The task force has about 50 individuals so far from across Sheboygan County that have signed up for the training. State Assembly Republican John Nygren is not finished with his campaign to fight heroin and prescription drug abuse. The Marinette lawmaker tells WLUK-TV he'll propose four more bills in the new year for his HOPE agenda. One of the new bills would increase state grant funds for local treatment programs by $2 million a year. The other bills would make it a crime to use masking agents to falsify drug tests, and he wants to reduce red tape when treatment centers try to get recertified. This is WPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, developing solutions to support strong families and communities for America's children. More information is available at aecf.org. From Organic Valley, family farmers committed to the craft of sustainable farming, bringing Holiday Bakers organic milk, cream, butter, and eggs for over 25 years. Organic Valley, bringing the good. And from Americans for the Arts at AmericansForTheArts.org.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning, I'm David Green. Alaska is about to become the first state with pot cafes. These are businesses where people can buy and consume marijuana, just like they do in Amsterdam. Right now, this is not legal in other states that allow recreational marijuana. From member station KTOO in Juneau, Elizabeth Jenkins explains.
At the bottom of a staircase in James Barrett and his brother Gianno's house is a room about the size of a one-car garage.
So these are six plants right here. We have two that are flowering.
A fan and grow light are perched above the plants. It's a test garden for their marijuana business, Rainforest Farms. Gianno and his brother grew up on an actual farm in the Midwest, doing chores like collecting eggs and watering crops.
To throw cannabis in the mix in a homestead in Alaska, that's like the ultimate dream.
What the brothers have in mind is something they're calling boutique or craft marijuana. James says, think of it more as a farm-to-table approach to cannabis.
Our company, Rainforest Farms, wants to produce a line of chocolate bars. We really believe in healthy food and healthy eating. That's what we live by.
An alternative to the sugary processed edibles, Gianno says he's eaten recently in Colorado.
Man, when I was down there, there's just a lot of products I didn't want to put in my body at all. Not because of the cannabis. I actually got sick off one of them. I got nauseous.
But unlike Colorado, Rainforest Farms can have a cafe for its customers to eat their pot-infused treats. In November, the Alaska State Marijuana Control Board approved on-site consumption at retail stores. Those businesses could start popping up as early as the summer. Each municipality has to give the ultimate okay.
I am not thinking, oh, goody, goody, we're going to get rich because of pot. That is not in my thought process at all.
That's Mary Becker, the mayor of Juneau. She's a retired middle school teacher. Drug aversion programs, she says, were a regular staple in her classroom.
I have grandchildren and I've taught school, and I want to see these young people have good jobs. They can't even get a job in the mine if they test with a drug in their system.
Pot cafes in Alaska give people a legal place to consume marijuana, just not smoke it. Juneau has a strict clean air ordinance that prohibits smoking tobacco and marijuana in public places, in businesses like restaurants, even in private clubs like an Elks Lodge. Becker says while she's not excited her state would be the first to have marijuana cafes, a pot brownie doesn't bother her as much as a joint.
Edibles, I mean, I'd rather people didn't put their calories in their bodies with edibles of drugs, but it does not damage the smoking ordinance, and that's been one of my real concerns.
To some degree, it will be nice for people who want to become connoisseurs of different varieties of marijuana.
Attorney Kevin Higgins says he smokes marijuana at his home to relieve job stress, but would consider going to pot cafes. He says the number of local pot enthusiasts, like himself in Juneau, isn't probably big enough to sustain businesses, but there is another possibility.
Tourists are obviously willing to pay a premium on a lot of things just to be part of the experience of floating up the Inside Passage.
And with close to 1 million cruise ship passengers each year, marijuana cafes could mean an added attraction in Juneau. But Mayor Mary Becker says pot pales in comparison to the city's other attractions.
Have we looked at the Mendenhall Glacier? Have we gone out on the water and seen the whales? I have a hard time thinking people are going to come to Juneau to get their pot.
But if businesses like Rainforest Farms get their way, those summer cruises to Alaska could also include a taste of cannabis. For NPR News, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
This is NPR News.
It's 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to Wisconsin Public Radio on this Thursday morning. Coming up in 10 minutes, it's the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, in a live broadcast from King's College in Cambridge, England. Join us for this annual tradition of Christmas music and readings right after the Marketplace Morning Report, which is next here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WGTD comes to you from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. Andrea's, a proud supporter of programming on WGTD HD.
Wisconsin Public Radio is pleased to support free, family-friendly events. For more information, visit wpr.org/events.
There will be scattered flurries in Wisconsin today, in northern Wisconsin, that is. And there's a chance of light rain and light snow in the southwest by this afternoon. Highs will be in the mid-20s in northwestern Wisconsin and north-central Wisconsin, to the upper 30s and around 40 degrees in the southeast. Tonight, there's a chance of light snow in the evening in southern Wisconsin, and a slight chance of light snow after midnight, scattered flurries in east-central Wisconsin.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio is provided by the John W. and Lenore L. Landry Endowment Fund, supporting educational and informational programming like The Larry Mueller Show, in the spirit of the outreach mission of the University of Wisconsin.
Local musicians, get your music on the radio on WGTD's Noon Tunes. It airs Monday through Friday on the WGTD Midday News. Email Dave McGrath at mcgrathd@gtc.edu.
Some of the biggest stars in the NBA are lending their support to fight gun violence.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Epson, with the new EcoTank line of all-in-one printers featuring super high-capacity refillable ink tanks. Where there's business, there's Epson. And by the University of Southern California.
From Marketplace in New York, I'm Noelle King, and for David Brancaccio. The National Basketball Association is joining a push to end gun violence. NBA players will appear in a TV ad set to air during tomorrow's games. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with me from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, Noelle.
So tell me about the ad.
Well, it's actually a public service announcement. It features NBA players alongside survivors of mass shootings and people who've lost loved ones to gun violence. The ad starts with Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
Other players talk about how gun violence has affected them. Chris Paul of the LA Clippers says when he was a child, his parents told him a bullet doesn't have a name on it. And the ad campaign is being paid for by the gun control group Every Town for Gun Safety. But the NBA is trying to steer clear of politics. It says the ads are not about gun control. They're about gun violence.
Right. It seems unusual that a big sports league like the NBA would even get involved in all. Has it done this before?
Well, it's been involved in charitable causes, things like Habitat for Humanity. But yeah, it doesn't usually get into policy debates over controversial issues like this. So this is unusual. Kenneth Shropshire is director of the Wharton Sports Business Initiative. He says one reason the NBA got involved, support from star players who have strong feelings about gun violence.
So many of the players have a direct interest, involvement, have been touched by the gun violence issue. So I think a lot of the positive pieces fell in place to deliver an important message.
And that message is expected to reach a lot of people, Noel. It'll air during the NBA's holiday schedule tomorrow. Shropshire says it's a big deal for a huge organization like the NBA to get behind an issue like this because it has so much marketing power.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The Labor Department says fewer Americans are seeking unemployment benefits. Applications dropped by 5,000 last week to 267,000. U.S. markets are open only half the day today. Let's take a look at some numbers. The Dow is down 0.25%. The S&P is up just slightly. The NASDAQ is flat. Today's market action comes on the heels of a rebound in oil prices this week. Crude is up this morning 1.3%. It's been buoyed by an unexpected drop in U.S. stockpiles. So are oil prices on their way back up? Richard Mallison, a geopolitical analyst at Energy Aspects, says not so fast.
Well, this time of year, we always have really thin trading, and that means that we can see quite sharp movements on very little underlying news. But we also had good weekly numbers from the DOE published yesterday that showed a draw in crude stocks, particularly on the Gulf Coast. So I think that's given traders a bit of a boost.
And it seems also to have boosted markets around the world.
Yes, I mean, I think we're seeing a bit of a year-end rally across different markets. But again, liquidity is very thin. Most people are on holiday, so we probably shouldn't read too much into the movements.
That's Richard Mallison, a geopolitical analyst at Energy Aspects.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Robert W. Baird & Company. Employee-owned and independent, Baird has kept clients' financial interests first since 1919. BairdWealth.com has more information.
Imagine this as the agenda for your next workplace retreat. Escape from jail, win a quiz show, and traverse a jungle. It's called reality gaming, and more people are doing it for fun. But some businesses are also catching on and using reality gaming as a way to spur employee bonding. From Boston, Kurt Nickisch has the story.
So we have to figure something out.
Three Boston-area co-workers are confused. They're in a room that looks like the inside of a chicken coop. There's a door that won't open.
This looks like a button of some kind, doesn't it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Usually, these co-workers crack eggs together in the kitchens of a culinary incubator called Stockpot Malden. But here, they have to crack a riddle to open the door. And in the next room, they have to scamper through a maze of chutes.
Ow!
Sorry. Yeah. No problem. Watch out for...
This multi-room challenge called Farm is one of 16 adventures at Bota Borg Boston. Entrepreneur Chad Ellis spent $4 million to turn an empty department store building into what he calls a questing center.
When you walk into a room, you normally know how everything works. You know what you're supposed to do. When you walk into a room at Bota Borg, you don't. We haven't told you the rules.
Bota Borg is part of the growing market for what's called active or reality gaming. At least 9 cities across the country have challenges called Escape the Room. Other establishments let you play the hero in a movie. It's more like a video game at Bota Borg. If you fail, you have to start over. One quester, Corey Lovejoy, says it takes many tries and it takes a team.
And you can change up with each other's strengths because you're like, I suck at this. Why don't you try it? I'll do your thing. So you get to kind of test out what each other's good at, too.
This collective problem solving is not only attracting 20-somethings, but also companies trying to teach their workers to collaborate.
So how was the final quest with everybody?
Corporate trainer Jillian Simkis says it's a big step up from tired team-building exercises like the trust fall.
It sort of cements and anchors an experience in a different way from an academic kind of business learning. Let's brainstorm and write on a flip chart.
Back on the farm quest, this team of Stockpot Malden co-workers has figured out the secret. Ben De La Creta says he's going to come back.
It was surprising how both addictive and frustrating it was.
The cost of that frustration, for a full day, $28 a person. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
Last up, after a decades-long legal battle, the Americans who were taken hostage in Iran in the late 70s have won compensation, the New York Times reports, a provision that would give each of the hostages or their estates up to $4.4 million was buried in the U.S. spending bill signed on Friday. Where is the money coming from? Earlier this year, the French bank BNP Paribas was forced to pay $9 billion for violating sanctions with Iran and Cuba. The former hostages' compensation, the Times says, will come from that pot of money. I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
And this is WPR. It is Christmas Eve. I'm Stephanie Elkins, and we're going live to England in a minute for the annual service of 9 Lessons and Carols from King's College Chapel in Cambridge. And right after that, there's more great classical music here on WPR.
Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin Alumni Association, committed to strengthening UW-Madison's academic reputation by maintaining faculty excellence through the University of Wisconsin's annual campaign. Support uw.org.
Support for WGTD's Radio Theater comes from the Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, a full-service leisure getaway, family retreat, and meeting facility. Lake Lawn Resort, a proud supporter of WGTD's Radio Theater. LakeLawnResort.com.
You're listening to WGTD.